Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Leverage Podcast. We have Layla London, the host of the Curious Girls Diaries podcast, and I was recently on her show just recently. We had a great conversation. So welcome to the show, Layla.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to get into it with you. After you were on my show, I thought that was a great interview. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to ask me.
Nice. Just a little background on you. After a 3.5 year self-imposed dry spell, you said you woke up and asked yourself, like, what am I doing? And why you decided to shut that side of your sexuality off. You said you needed physical contact badly, and you decided to stop wasting the pretty, which I'm curious about that quote. I think I understand, but that kind of set you off on your sexual road trip and checking things off the sexual bucket list. There's a super cool portion of your site that I noticed where you help people kind of figure out what their sexual bucket list is. And that's one of the biggest things I tell my clients is you really have no business being in any sort of like monogamous relationship or any relationship for that matter, if you don't know what's on that sexual bucket list. And it's just very cool to explore those type of things. So how did you set off on this journey? Can you take us back in time to like what made you do that 3.5 year dry spell?
Yeah, the 3.5 year dry spell. You know, it's so weird because I've changed so much since then, but that person, that those tendencies are still there. And it's just really workaholic. You know, I am a type A, so I can get very, very hyper-focused on things, especially business, because I enjoy it so much. And I have been pretty much an entrepreneur my whole life. And, you know, my business was at a point where it was really taking off. Things were doing really well. And the market was right and everything was just trending the way I needed it to. And so I knew that like I needed to kind of kill it, really, really be super focused. And I did that and I excelled, you know, the way I wanted to financially and business-wise, but to some detriment of certain things in my life. And that was the personal life. Like that just completely fell by the wayside. And, you know, I felt like anything that took me away from business was my porn. That was like my drug. And so anything that took me away from that or the perception of taking time away from that, it was like, nope. And so I really just didn't date. I just kind of put my nose to the grindstone and several years passed.
Wow. What kind of made you do that in the first place?
I didn't want anything to encroach on my business life and all the hours and energy and effort that it took to do what I was doing at the time. And so anybody that wanted to date or take me out or whatever, I just saw that as like, wasn't a good use of my time.
Right. Had you ever done anything like extreme or hardcore before that in terms of like hyper-focusing on one area and then pushing another area away?
Yeah. Yes. That's just how I get stuff done. Sort of. That's like my modus operandi. I'm very dedicated and determined when I get my like sight set on something. So it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I've done that with other areas of my life, with marathons, with also probably somewhat this, you know, once I shifted gears and said, I've kind of run myself off in the ditch here with this no sex for 3.5 years. Now I need to change that. And so again, I just put my business hat on. I was like, how am I going to raise this Titanic real quick? And within about 10 days, I had righted these wrongs of the 3.5 years of nothing.
Yeah. Tell us about that. Like when you decided to like stop doing that and get back into, you know, fun, I guess you could say.
Right. Well, just get back into like the land of the people, like do what normal people do, you know? Oh, instead of just being like this working robot, letting life pass you by. So I just had this moment, like this come to Jesus moment. I was getting out of the shower and I was kind of drying off and I was like looking in the mirror, you know, and I was like, you know what, this is not bad. Like, well, this is a good thing here. And what am I doing? I'm wasting the pretty. Like, what the fuck? Why am I holding all this back? Somebody needs to get the benefit of this. So I did, and I thought, you're only going to have it for so long. So you better take advantage of it. Right.
I mean, yeah. And, like, I like that expression, wasting the pretty, because yeah, like no one's benefiting.
That's what I was doing.
It's a big fucking waste, right?
I'm just wasting the pretty, right? Nobody's getting the benefit of all this. So I thought, well, someone's going to, or maybe a few people. And I just completely kind of laid out a plan and executed my plan, which was very quickly get up some dating profiles, come up with a sex bucket list, and give herself a year to scratch things off and really just kind of explore and find out, you know, who you are sexually. Because at that point, you know, and especially since I just let it go for 3.5 years, I'd completely turned that off. I thought that was interesting. And why would I do that? Now, what happens if I just completely open the spigot and go for it? So it was really just a year experiment. And I thought, I'm also going to do a podcast and document what I'm doing and sort of who I'm becoming. I was really curious about, who would this make me at the end of this? You know, would I just go back to vanilla? Would I start going back to old habits? Like, what would happen? So obviously I didn't shut it down after 1 year. It caught on and got such a good response and people didn't want me to stop. So every year I was like, okay, one more year. And here I am now, 6.5 years later.
did you have any, well, first I'd love to hear what was on the sexual bucket list, if you'll share any of that. And what was your kind of goal doing, like creating that in the first place? Like, obviously you had a long-term vision, otherwise you wouldn't have done it. Whereas a lot of people would just be like, all right, I'm going to start, you know, dating and having sex again and going crazy. You were very like focused, entrepreneurial about it, which I think is cool. You're like, this is the business plan. This is what we're doing.
This is how we're going to handle this. Yeah. Right. Well, okay. So let me just break that down real simply. So I'm just a problem solver. So for me, again, you know, and this is why I have that on my, you know, that's why I did that on my website, came up with a sex bucket list, because really the sex bucket list is what is the best tool that I use to accomplish a lot of things sexually, know what I even wanted to do sexually, and then be able to start to identify people, because I had that list, you know, I knew where I was steering the ship. Like, where am I going this year? It's a journey. So now I know I want to do this and I want to try that. And so I'm going to seek out the right people that are going to help me accomplish that or want to be a part of that. And so if you put that, you know, now apply that to a partner, if that was with a partner, you know, I mean, we could totally have fun with it and have a year's worth of great sex already planned out, you know, and just fun things to do and adventures. But the fun thing about the list really was just that sometimes I would have something on the list and I thought initially, this would really turn me on. And then when I got there, I was like, you know what, that didn't really turn me on, but this other thing that I never thought of or never experienced did, you know, like lit my fire. So it was always a good, no matter what I tried, there was always something good about it. You know, some of it was just, yeah, I knocked it out of the park. It was like, yes, I see why I was turned on by that, because it's a big turn on, you know, and I was right. But some of the other things, you know, I got to learn so much about myself sexually. So, and what I just decided, why not? Why at the end of the year, why would I shut this down? Why wouldn't I always sort of focus on my sex life and want to make it a priority?
Right. Can you give an example of one of those things that was unexpected that came from another thing on the list?
Yeah. So I went to, one of the things I wanted to do was go to a sex party. And, I just thought, you know, okay, I've always wondered, the threesome has been like on my list forever. I have a curse. I have the curse of the threesome. For some reason, I can't pull it off, but we can come back to that. But so I wanted to go to a sex party with a partner because I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll find a third or we'll meet a third. Not that we don't have necessarily, we're just going to jump into, you know, doing stuff with them, but we might meet that person that then we kind of get a little relationship with, and they check out, and then we decide, okay, yeah, you know, let's get it on. And so, I was there and with a partner, and we went just, you know, dressed up, feeling great. You know, it was a, it was in, we were out of town at this place in New Orleans. And, I, again, like I thought, okay, it's going to be about finding someone else and having this hot threesome, but we didn't really find anybody that we were, you know, that into. So we were just really into each other that night. And because of that, people started just watching us. They were watching us make out. They were watching us grope each other. And they're all just kind of like coming in and watching. And I never realized how much like that turned me on so much. I couldn't believe it. And it was never even on my radar. People would say, oh, are you an exhibitionist? Do you like that kind of thing? I'm like, I've never even thought about that. You know, like it's funny to hear me say, ooh, about something after all the stuff I've done, but, I just never, like, I never thought that would be my thing. And then, you know, organically you're just there and it starts happening and it's like, oh fuck, this is so hot. I've never been this turned on in my life. Like these people, they're watching us. They're excited about the passion and that just the sexy hotness going on right now between me and my partner. And we are fucking hot, you know, like I'm like, we're just on fire. And then other people are seeing that and getting excited and turned on by it. It was just totally unexpected and so cool to experience.
You know, it's funny. I had a very similar experience at one of the first sex parties I went to as well. Prior to the sex party, I was always like afraid of getting caught. I got caught a couple times in like high school by my girlfriend's mom. And then again, by like another girlfriend's dad.
Oh God, you had bad luck.
Yeah. Like these kind of like, oh my God, experiences. And then when I went to my first sex party, I think it was like 32, similar sort of thing happened. I started having sex in this like mirrored hallway. And it was so cool because you could like, well, first of all, there are mirrors everywhere. We were also hunting for a threesome partner, me and my girlfriend at the time, and didn't really find one, but people came and like, it was like this weird sort of hallway mirror bathroom sort of thing. And everyone started watching us. And that was really kind of like turning me on because
wasn't
I felt
that like hot.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I kind of felt like a performer on stage, you know? And I mean, obviously I think they were, it was a weird sort of thing. Like I like being on stage. I like performing. So I like that too. Yeah. And since then, like I went to many, many more sex parties and I was always the one to kind of get things going and start like the fun for everyone else. Cause I'm just willing to like, yeah, let's just make a show.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I definitely had that, that same sort of thing.
Yeah. I know. That's why I always tell people like, you just never know. I mean, once you start getting open to all this stuff and just trying it, and it can be even something like, you know, some of the stuff I really didn't know how into it, you know, when I made the list, if it was interesting or I thought, you know what, I want to know more about that, then I'd put it on the list. And just, you know, it was interesting the things that it was the things you least expected, you know, that really kind of expanded your sexuality more than anything else, you know? So yeah, it's just been fun.
What about in terms of partners? Were you looking for like one main partner, many partners? Did you have like, you know, a bunch of different flavor of guys you wanted to try out or girls?
Well, I've never been with a woman. It's on my list though. I just don't consider myself. The problem is, I don't consider myself bisexual. I just I want the experience, but I don't really know if I want to reciprocate her to her.
I'm sure you can find a lot of women who are down for that though.
I know. I think so. I think you can find a lot of women that are down for that. And it's like, it's awful. I feel so selfish. I'm like, I don't know if baby steps, let me baby step it. Yeah. I don't know. You never know. The first time I could just be like, oh my God. Yes. I just dove right in. It was fantastic.
I mean, I've met women before that say, I want to go down on a woman, but I don't want one to go down on me. Cause like
I'm the opposite.
Right.
I'm like, no, Go, you get down there.
You guys would be a perfect fit.
I want to see what the home team advantage is all about. I want to see if it's true.
Right.
I think I sidetracked us. I think I totally forgot what your question was.
No,
you, I'm having all these visions in my head right now.
No, you're answering because I was asking you what sort of flavors of men and women. You said a woman to please you, but to, you know, you wouldn't have to do anything to her. And then what about the guys?
Right. Oh, guys. Okay. So, I did. Well, I have my type, right? Everyone kind of has their type, but I did know that I wasn't going to have just one partner for this whole experience. And I was going to give myself that, you know, because I also knew that of all the things that were on that list, and I was real serious about getting them done, that just anybody would, you know, it'd be hard for one person to probably want to do all that. And so I just figured I better have I call it a pair and a spare, like three is a good number when you're a single woman. Yeah.
Then I tell my guy clients the same. I'm like, if you want to be single and have fun, you should have at least three women on the roster. Because if you have two, you get a little comfortable. You see them too often. And then
you're just, oh boy, you're going to be, you're going to get coupled off before you know it.
Totally.
Yeah. I know. I see we have a lot. I don't even know what your dating advice is, but I'm like, we're the same. I just am like, no, I tell ladies, I'm like, listen, you got to have a pair and a spare. A woman needs a pair and a spare because especially women, I think will tend to fixate on one guy, you know, this just, you don't have time to fixate and you're getting all your, you know, you're getting your ego strokes. You got three guys that like, yeah, it's the perfect thing.
Exactly. And then you need to rotate one out for another. And I'm so glad you're saying the same thing. And that's so cool. You tell women the same thing because I'm very sort of regimented with my clients because my clients are typically, you know, they want to get out there and they want to check off things on their sexual bucket list. And they also, want to find love too. But what they do is they build these new skills and then they use them and they quickly find like a new girl was above their league. And they're like, oh, I just want to be with her now. Or they find two. And they just, you know, like you said, it just goes to a relationship zone way too fast. And they're like, oh shit, shouldn't have done that. And they go through a messy breakup and then they're back at it again. But it's like, why waste all the time?
Okay, but can I tell you, this is really, now you may have the missing piece to this puzzle. I don't know. But what I've found is through doing this, which is kind of counterintuitive, you think like, okay, so you're just going to have these meaningless like relationships. What I have found is over this 6 years, like I've had the most incredible, open, like mind-blowing, like deepest love type relationships I've ever had in my life simply by leading with the sex component first.
Oh yeah, I agree 100%. And I hate the fact that so many people are like, oh, don't you want something meaningful and a connection? Because just banging people, you're not going to get that. I'm like, no, wrong. You actually, if you're honest about what you're doing and you're straightforward about who you are, you're going to get that so fast. And if you lead with sex, you're going to just like, it opens the door for everything else. Because if you're willing to get vulnerable, like physically naked, everything else is easy.
That's right. Yeah. And it's, oh my God. Cause you get, you immediately blow past that. We never got around to telling each other this or opening up enough or whatever. And it never gets its day, you know, where it's time to pull that number and talk about it. And you go on for years and you're like, I don't even fucking know this person. Now I'm married with two kids.
Yeah. It's so funny because so many people put the like, oh, I'm going to try to connect and get to know them in every way, shape or form before any sort of physical connection, you know, like that's on one end of the spectrum. Then the other end of the spectrum is what I started doing when I was single, which was I would try to not even know anything about someone before I had sex with them, like, you know, meet them at a party, make out with them without any words exchanged, fuck in the toilet, bang him in an orgy.
Toilet. Well, you then know. then those girls weren't too picky. I don't think I'd let anybody just fuck me in the toilet.
Sometimes in nightclubs, you never know.
I do have lots of like dating no-nos. So we can get into those maybe later.
So banging in the toilet is a no-no. I'm taking it.
Oh, I'm just, yeah, I wouldn't want to bang in the toilet. I wouldn't want somebody that wasn't like really, okay, hold on. There's always an exception to that. It depends on who you're with, but like for the very first time and I don't know you, I'm trying to think like, it'd be hard for me to imagine being just so overcome, because for me to bang in the toilet, I would have to be so overcome with lust and just like horniness that I would let you bang me over the toilet without even knowing your name type of thing.
Well, these are usually like nightclub environments. There may or may not be MDMA involved, which certainly tear down the walls for that sort of thing.
Okay. I guess.
Yeah. So those
were
those.
Different, yeah.
Right. Or like private sort of sex party deals where, mm-hmm. you know, you just make that eye contact with someone.
Yes.
And it's just and it's just, yeah.
Okay. At a sex party, though, that's different. I mean,
totally.
There's a higher probability. You're here. You're there to hopefully that happens, you know, to have that. Have something happen, physical happen. So, okay.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm curious. So then, you had your pair and a spare.
Yeah.
And how often would you kind of change those roles out?
Well, it was more dictated by what we were doing, you know, and what was like on the agenda, like, okay, are we having, what am I trying to scratch off? Because they were with different things or with different people. So, and then also too, it depended on, you know, I think I'll say this. I think that when men know there's other men around, because I'm 100% open and honest with everybody. That's the key. You know, they have to know what you're doing. They have to know who else you're sleeping with so that everybody can be on the same page, you know, and be protecting themselves and all that stuff. So, when other guys know that there's other guys around, you know, then they're always calling. I like about that scenario for women is the testosterone gets going and it keeps the guys on their toes. And I don't care what anybody says, it does. They're always trying to court you. They're always trying to, you know, like, well, let's go do this. What are you doing? They're trying to make sure they get the weekend planned, you know, and get ahead of someone else or whatever. And
It's that healthy competition anxiety.
Healthy competition. Yeah.
And I tell my clients that too. I say if a girl is not that into you and she, you know, she's not really responsive to your texts as much, but she's still following you on Instagram, the only way to save that is to give her a little competition anxiety. So show that you're doing cool stuff with other hot girls. And that's the only way she might change her mind about you. Otherwise, you're done. And if you can do that in person, you know, in real life, you know, like if you show up to a party and there's three beautiful girls vying for your attention, every other woman in the party is going to see that and be like, oh, what's up with that guy? And the same thing goes for women too. Like you can create competition anxiety either way. I love that. Were you as open with these guys to like have them meet each other?
Oh no, I never had, nobody ever met each other.
Yeah.
Let me think about that. Yeah, no, nobody ever met each other.
You're opening another can of worms by doing that.
That would be yeah. So everyone just, I kept everybody separate, but
It was kind of like it was like, how often would you guys discuss what happened with other partners? Would you do it? Because I know sometimes it turns people on to know about it, especially like, you know, before sex or even during sex. Other people are like, I don't want to hear about it because it makes me too jealous. I always got turned on by it and I always liked sharing about it, but I know everyone's different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so everybody I was with was different too. So, you know, one guy would like, he's just like, I'm the jealous type. I really want to hear about this stuff. And then, you know, another guy, like we just share stories back and forth. Like, you know, he told me what he was doing and I tell him what I was doing. And it was just like, you know, it was hot. It was foreplay. And then other people, it would more be they were interested in, you know, what the guy that I was doing BDSM with, you know, like that he was sort of showing me all that stuff, doing, you know, for the first time. I'd never done any of that. And I wanted someone that was experienced. And so, you know, I was trying to explain how fascinating that was and how I was just like, whoa, how intense it was. And, you know, so he would always want to know about that guy and what he was doing and what's he got that, you know, like how does he do it? You know? And so everybody had their own flavor, you know, it was a different relationship with each guy.
And as you were dating different men, obviously sounds like you have a type. So you're kind of maybe going for the same, is it a physical type or more of a, you know, other sorts of types, like in terms of a connection? My question kind of boils down to, I've got this one client and he's on the spectrum and he's always like, the autism spectrum. So he has trouble with social skills, and he's an interesting case because I have many clients who aren't, but him especially, because he's like, well, I thought I should always be funny, or I thought I should always be mysterious, or I thought I should always be this or that. I'm like, listen, different women are going to like different guys. And
yeah,
you know, if she likes the funny guy and you're not the funny guy, like, you're probably not going to work out. But if you can kind of be the funny guy and mirror that vibe, you might have a chance.
Yeah. I think that, well, for me, that my type is, it's more the physical aspects more than like, okay, I like a blonde hair, blue eyed guy. Right. I just like, first of all, a tall guy, because I'm tall. I'm 5'10". So I just like somebody that's tall too. And, you know, if I was 5'3", I'd have a lot more range there, but I don't, you know, I don't like to feel like when I'm wearing high heels that could beat you up, you know, like, or if we're in I always say, like, if we're in an alley and we get jumped, I want to know I'm the woman and you're the man. Like, I don't have to be defending you. You know? Sure. So that's important to me. But I like just tall. And then interestingly enough, that year, I also just was like, okay, if somebody's interesting for any reason, I'm going to check it out. You know, I'm going to go with it. And it turns out, you know, just like, somebody that I just thought we are so freaking opposite. Like, if, you know, we have a big sexual connection, but we're like, you know, we used to kind of snick at each other. There was this weird energy, you know, but something was like magnetic there. Right. So you get that sexual draw, you know, and you're like, okay, why do I like this guy? Cause if it would have been like going by my normal list, he would have been eliminated. Mm-hmm. But I did try a lot of different guys, personalities, all that stuff. And I really found just interesting things about all of them. I mean, I think I was really, really just open-minded and going with it, letting things happen. And I've become more open-minded about, I think about, you know, what turns me on and what types of guys I really do like and can like and work well with.
Cool.
But you got to be tall. Yeah, you just got to have tall.
Well, okay. So about the tall thing, this is an interesting point, because if you're shorter, like I'm 5'10", my wife is an inch shorter than me, but when she wears high heels, she's taller than me.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. I think it's hot. I think it's sexy. And I've always been attracted to really tall women. Not sure why. Like, I've dated most of my girlfriends have been tall, thin, and taller than me in heels. And they've never cared that they were taller than me in heels, because they always said, I always feel small around you because I feel like I'm being taken care of. And they obviously feel like I'm going to be okay in a fight. They're not going to have to beat the guy up for me.
Right. Yeah.
And then after doing some more digging in psychology, you know, when you ask, I think they did a survey and they asked women, what is it about height? And they said, it's not so much how tall he is, but I want to feel small. I want to feel feminine. And if the guy's, okay. So if the guy's shorter, you could still feel that. Like, how strict have you been with your height requirement? Have you slept with guys shorter, significantly shorter, that didn't feel small?
I have been with guys that are, my height, you know, obviously, but I haven't gone shorter than me. Like, I just can't do it. I have a mental block, but no, definitely. I mean, yeah, those guys were real, you know, kind of, I hate to use the word alpha types because people say that, think of it as a negative. To me, it's not, you know, a man right. that's good, you know, that understands his masculine energy. I don't think that's sexy. So yeah, I mean, as long as you like, I mean, you can't be, so you couldn't be like, you couldn't be thin like me. And if you weighed as much as me, no, I'd have a problem, but right. There's other things where I can tell, like, okay, I know like when he's on top of me, I'm going to feel his body weight and he's going to feel heavy. I like that too. It's like, you gotta be if the big or okay. Or if you're just, as long as you're on me and you feel heavy, we're good.
All right. So for the shorter guys listening, just get fat and you'll.
No, I just mean, you know what I mean? Like okay. That's another way where you feel like, oh yeah, that's a man. There's a man right there right. on me. Yeah. Cause he's heavy and big, you know, and that feels okay. Yes. I like that.
No, I'm just playing. cool. What else was on the bucket list? You know, I'm surprised you never got to the threesome. What about the two guys threesome?
I haven't done that either. You know what? You know why? Because I feel like every time, like, it's like I'll have a more primary partner, and then we're looking for a guy, and then when it comes down to it, they don't really want to do that with you. They'll go the other way. They'll let you bring in another woman. But you know, when that comes up, then all of a sudden it's like, they're not really sure. And hey, you know what? I understand that if it's someone that I care about, I might be a little leery too. You know, I don't know. Sure. I'd like to find out. I'm trying to find out. I'm desperately trying to find out if I would have that inclination, you know, but I'm happy to be somebody's little third. See, if it's another, I would go with another couple. I think that's great. Then I just can do my thing. I don't have to worry about any of the emotional talk afterwards. Like, was that okay for you, honey? Was that okay for you? Okay. You know, I just get to be the star of the show and leave.
Right. Well, I listened to your butt plugs episode. And after hearing that, I think you'd be a big fan of DP. And I feel like going to sex parties, you could easily find some guys that would be down with, like, I've probably yeah. done that to maybe 10 or like 10 different women over the course of my sex partying career, like been one of the parties in the, you know, in the double yeah. penetration and like, I like the, it's just so cool to see a woman going through that because they usually haven't done it and they're just like mind blown. And yes. I'm totally straight. Like I've never had any sort of, you know, homosexual experiences and, you know, yeah, sometimes you get some balls rubbing against, but that's just part of the, you know, that's like the, what do you call it?
Right.
That just kind of happens, but it's for, it's always because my partner or the, you know, whatever girl like wanted that. I was always like, yeah, I'm down for that. Why not? Like, and it was so cool to watch them have that experience because they were just like mind blown, crazy orgasms. Like, just you know. So
I know. I can't. Well, I know. See, I've already cheated a little bit. So you know, one of the guys I'm with, we bought a dildo, and I kept trying to get the wrong one that was too big. You know, I'm like, you got to get. I really didn't really realize like how much was supposed to be going in there. So I finally, after a couple tries, got like the right size. And so we'll play around with them. Like, okay, so this is what it's going to be like when we find our third and, you know, we're doing the DP, you know?
Right. Well, I'll have to have you back on the show when you do the real thing.
I need some practice, you know, I don't want to go in cold, you know, I want to know what to expect.
Yeah, it's like for whatever reason, like the first time I remember it was another couple and they asked me to like be the third for that. And I think after that I told my girlfriend, like, she seemed to have a pretty good time. I think you should try it out too. So when I first started going to sex parties, I went to, you know, the kind you could buy tickets for. And I was always like my date
and I were always like finding the most attractive couples, and you know, they've got, you've got your old fat people and like one end, like, you know, the hot people find the hot people and the not people do, and everyone has a good time.
That was part of my disappointment the very first sex party I went to, because we rolled up and it was the suburbs, and I was like, I'm sorry, where is the Eyes Wide Shut beautiful house with beautiful people? What is going on? There is a station wagon in this driveway that we're going into. And I couldn't fucking believe it. I'm like, this is a takeover. We are in Pleasantville. Like, what? And we go in, and yes, this whole house had been taken over, and they put like plastic on their kids' bunk beds. I mean, I was just like, I jumped right into the deep end, and then I kind of had to like get my head around it. Took me a while. And then they also had a potluck with like bubbling chili. Who wants to eat bubbling chili and have sex? I don't know. I mean, this whole thing
in my mind right now, it's hilarious.
Oh, it was oily. It was oily. And anyway, so it took me a while to like kind of lighten up. I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, and there's everybody, everyone's with the mom bods and the dad bods, and, you know, and again, no shade on that. It's just, I was looking, I really literally thought we'd be walking to like a Hollywood production. and then I just had to realize, you know, and then I was like, wait a minute, that's just totally unfair. I mean, sex is for everybody, you know, it's for everybody. So I ended up, once I kind of like got over that, we did end up having fun, but at first I was kind of horrified. I have to admit.
Yeah. That sounds like a little bit of a traumatizing first sex party experience. I had the opposite, you know, I had the Hollywood mansion Eyes Wide Shut deal. Like people even came in the eye things, you know,
that's what I thought I was getting.
Yeah. And even then, like still, obviously they were trying to make money off the event. So there were still some characters in there that were unattractive that, you know, no one wanted to, but they weren't like, they weren't aggressive or approaching or like doing anything to make you uncomfortable. It was a very kind of cool, well-managed party. And then we linked up with the other cool people. And then we just started doing our own parties. And we had like a crew of, I think between 10 and 20 couples, and we would just throw like a party every month. And it was like, you know, occasionally like other couples would come in, and it was really fun. Like we did that for like 3 years, me and one partner. And then had many other like, you know, like girlfriends and then like couples friends. And that was a really cool part of my life, because I felt like I crossed so much crazy shit off the sexual bucket list. Like, you know, I mean, in terms of like variety and quantity, if you want to have that, like getting into that sex party scene, they call it like the lifestyle. I think there's no faster way to do that. But, you know, I tell my clients, there's guys that are like, oh, I want to get right into that. I'm like, well, first you got to get some dates. Because who are you going to take to that, right? Like,
yeah, because sometimes they don't want single guys just rolling up, you know?
Yeah, you can't get in with as a single guy either. And the cool thing that I realized at those parties is most of the women are doing the approaching. It's usually in like a nightclub, for example, guys are going to like be thirstily coming up to women, trying to grind on them, trying to dance them. That doesn't happen at these things. It's like women are just kind of naturally like talking to the other people, and the guys are just kind of chilling, and it's like, all right, yeah, we can do this, we can do that, you know, you guys into like hard swap, there's all the lingo.
All the lingo.
so out of the, like, for the time, like when you started the sexual bucket list thing, what was your longest relationship? Do you have any that are still going from the beginning of that? And did you have any intention of finding a long-term relationship? Were you looking for more casual but deeply connected things?
So what was the first part of the question was?
So how long, what was your longest relationship since starting?
Mm-hmm.
And then what were you looking for? Like, was that a goal to have, you know, like a high turnover rate, a ton of variety? I'm just kind of curious about your intention there.
Yeah, no, I didn't want a high turnover rate. I knew I wanted more than, you know, I knew I wanted multiple partners, but I really wanted them to be around for a while, you know, like where, I mean, we had a good friendship. There was, you know, we did stuff. It wasn't just like, okay, now it's always about sex. Yeah. It was a lot about sex, but, you know, also, I mean, truly, truly, you know, friendships too. So, yeah, it was with a couple of the guys for, you know, a couple of years, one guy for 3.5 years. Let's see, another guy, I guess, 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So.
And how did those conversations about non-monogamy, non-exclusivity come to be? Like, when would you usually have that conversation? And how many guys did you kind of have to go through before? Like, were there a lot of guys who were like, oh, you know, I'm not about that. You know, that's a no for me. Did you have any anxiety around having those conversations? Because that can be a tough thing for guys when they're looking for that sort of lifestyle. And then they find someone they like, but then they're afraid to bring that up because they don't want to lose her.
Oh, no. So what I find is it's just so much easier if you're, like I said, when you're leading with the sex stuff and you're automatically just having these conversations straight out of the gate. That's the best time, because then I call it self-eliminate. Let them self-eliminate. Mm-hmm. That way you don't waste your time spending, you know, like you said, doing it the other way. Well, let's not talk about all this stuff. Now we've spent some time together. I feel invested, you know, but it's not really what I want, but do I stay because I spent all this time, you know, and then you keep moving forward. And like I said, boom, you're married and you got 2 kids and you're like, how the hell did this happen? Right. So no, so I'm always just really straight up, you know, right up front. And I find that most people react great to that. Like they really appreciate it and just are like, oh, okay, good. You know? And then, yeah, and then from there, of course, there's some people that are like, I don't think I could do that, or that's not for me. And then also things change, you know, when you're with someone, and at one point that was okay. And then at another point, it's not okay with them. And so, right. You know, you always have to be ready to have that conversation too, because feelings are always growing and changing. And, you know, just like in any relationship, when someone's not on the same page with the other person, one person's wanting to maybe be more serious and the other, and, you know, and I'm kind of like, oh, you know, look, I want you in my life, but not exclusively. Then, you know, when they change their mind about that, then, you know, you gotta let it go. But yeah.
And how were you meeting these guys?
Online.
Any specific site? Any specific?
Online also. I mean, once I'm in that, what I call like that hunting mode, I'm a really good flirt. So wherever, you know, if I see somebody that catches my attention, I will do my best to let them know that I find them interesting.
So that's a good topic, because guys are always like, I don't know how to flirt, or I don't know when she's flirting with me. What do you do to signal to them?
It just depends on the circuit, you know, the situation. Like, usually it's just, I don't think women have to try as hard. So I don't think we have to say, you know, overtly I'm interested. It's just, they're not used to being approached and having a woman start a conversation and then kind of carry it a bit so that they can start joining in after they're comfortable that you are interested. So I just, that's about as far as I have to take it, you know, and if they don't try to close the deal, then.
So you'll approach a guy that you're interested in.
Sure. Yeah.
And obviously you're not going to just straight up go and say, hey, I like you, but you're going to approach him.
Yeah.
Have some small talk, carry on a conversation. Hope he gets the hint.
Yeah. I mean, usually, like I said, guys usually do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're also weeding, like, a guy that you see, you know, obviously he's going to be your type and he's going to look attractive. Usually, right, they're going to be able to kind of take care of the rest, right? Like, if you see a guy who's really unattractive and horrible body language, and you go up and try to flirt with that guy, he probably won't know what the hell's going on. He won't even know you're flirting with him because he's just not kind of tuned in on that wave.
Yes.
Now, how often are you like trying to get the guys to approach you by sending like eye contact, flirty looks, you know, the glance over a few times? Will you try to get them to hair. Come over first? Right. The hair.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. Do women really do that? Cause I don't think, maybe I play with my hair, but I don't think I actually like flick it.
It's a good look. I mean, it would work on me.
Or I guess it should go back, you know.
The back can be kind of misconstrued as like a bitchy, like, you know.
Oh, okay. So maybe just more like the forward little, like,
totally like that.
Yeah. Okay.
With the like the sly, like, you know, side eye smile.
There we go. Just kind of like playing with it a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, where were we? I'm getting sidetracked. I feel like it's Friday night. It's only Monday night. I need to get like sharper.
Right. I know it's Monday. I mean, so yeah, no, we're talking about the icon or the flirty signals or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then before that, I was asking you something else. Oh, how you're meeting the guys. You're mostly like Tinder, Hinge, yeah. Bumble, like
more hookup ishy, you know, like where you know what it's about. You know, someone is there to.
And were you putting on your profile that you were interested in like non-monogamy, open relationships? Yes. That was directly on your profile.
Yes.
All right. Well, being a beautiful woman and having that on your profile, you must have gotten absolutely fucking bombed with messages. So how the hell did you manage to sift through them? That's one question. And then tell us about how many messages you were getting and, you know, share more on that, because I'm sure.
Oh my God. I could have written a whole book, like a coffee table book, just of the stupid shit that guys say. And I would call it that, the stupid shit that guys say. It's an avalanche of ding dongs and dick pics. And like, and just the worst, like, if you're going to misspell hi, if you can't even miss, you know, your opening line is misspelling the word hi. I mean, I'm sorry, we just have nowhere to go. Like, there's no way, we can't do it. I can't do it. I can't stand like bad grammar, just poorly thought out opening lines where it's, you can tell it's a cut and paste. You know, I'm all about efficiency, but you could tweak each one of those just slightly so that it gives it a personalized thing.
Sure. First of all, how many messages were you getting per day?
I mean, like, I could never get it below 100 because...
In the inbox.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And once you get past 100, you don't even know how many messages you have. It just says 100 plus or something.
It just says, like, it stops at 99.
Gotcha. Okay.
It won't go higher than that. So I don't, yeah. Anyway.
And would you scroll back? Like, how would you handle going through that?
I would literally get overwhelmed. I mean, because I'd be trying to go through there and I'm like, okay, I really want to do this, you know? And I didn't like this part of it, but I'm like, this is part of it. You got to do this. You got to sift and sort, you know, you got to get weed out the bad ones and then go back. So I'd immediately just try to start looking at, okay, who's a flat out no for any reason? Is it a no for any reason? And it just would be the opening line. It might be the face pick. It might be no face pick, whatever it was. And I just go boom, 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 delete. Okay, now I've cut
down. Or you even open the message, right? You just see like.
No, I wouldn't open it. No, I could see. Because, you know, it gives you like this.
The list, right?
Gives you the starter. And if they had like, if I could see they'd put a dick pic on there or whatever, I'd just be like, you know, boom, out. And get rid of those guys. And then you'd have to start going through. And I sit there and I would, you know, click on the profile. I want to check this guy out. I want to make sure he says something of substance in his profile, that he's got some good pictures, not some stupid guys take the worst pictures. I love you guys. I mean, like, you're the best thing on the planet, but men, Jesus, learn your angles. Like, you don't wipe the splatters off the bathroom mirror and close the toilet lid. You know, and get your dirty laundry off the floor and out of there. Just make sure that the scene is clean. You can push all that crap back in once you're done snapping the pictures, but just don't make it look like a dumpster fire in there.
Sometimes guys aren't the best at attention to detail. That's for sure.
Oh my God. I literally, I wish I could tell these guys how much information we can glean from one picture. Like, we start making these judgments about you instantly. And
oh, yeah.
Based off those pictures.
Totally. The pattern recognition that women develop from going through these, like, you learn so much so fast when you're forced to like deal with that sort of thing. And your brain, like, our human brains are really good at deciding what information is useless and what to remember. And you've got to be incredibly efficient about it. So, how much time do you think you were spending per day? Like, in the beginning when you were like, or at your most active phases using online dating, like, how many hours would you spend going through messages, that sort of thing?
Maybe respond. Like a couple hours.
Yeah, it's a lot. It can be like a full-time job.
But I really knew, I understood, again, like, with what I wanted to accomplish, about how many people it was going to take. And that means, if, you know, I knew I had to talk to so many people and you had to delete so many people to get to a good one. And then, you know, and so I knew that pattern, you know, I knew that rhythm, and I just had to suck it up and do it and meet a lot of people, you know. And you're like, okay, then I have my stages that they have to go through. It's like, first we chat. Then I want to see how you type. I want to see how your grammar is. Then I want to hear your voice. Then we're going to talk on the phone, you know, because your voice tells you a lot about somebody too. Because there's no point on it.
Were you doing like Zoom calls or FaceTime or only phone first?
Well, before COVID, I wasn't doing the Zoom call. We were just doing regular phone calls.
Right.
Which didn't, in the beginning, didn't weed out people that were lying on, you know, that had posted a 10-year-old picture or whatever. And then you show up and you're like, oh my gosh, you know,
yeah,
you look like shit, you know, like, I mean,
yeah.
And I hate when people do that to you because they're putting you in the position, like this awkward position. Instead, if you just represent yourself accurately on your profiles, you'll draw the right people to you and not waste. You know,
it really
puts your time.
It's really rude because it forces someone else to be rude or to pretend like, oh, it's okay, and waste their time. By the way, cool if we go over. Are you strict on time here?
Oh yeah, no, we're good. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I have a lot more questions on this. This is great. So
yeah.
All right. So like a couple hours now. When you had your pair in a spare, were you like slowing down with the online dating, or were you still consistently on there checking?
No, I would still, I would go in waves with it. I mean, I still do now. Like, I have a love hate thing with it. Like right now I'm just like, can't fucking stroke my eyeballs across one more page of doofuses, you know, like I just need a break. Yeah. I'm at that point where I just go, oh, it's too much. And what's awful is when you get on there, you know, people see that you're online and then more messages start coming in. I'm like, I'm just trying to get through this. So then I get built like overwhelmed and I just get pissed off and log out. They should give us the option to go in there and just, you know, be like, okay, nobody needs to see that I'm online.
You know? Ghost mode.
Yeah, ghost mode, exactly. Totally. Yeah.
And what about getting dates? I want to ask you about the dates, but before, we're still on like the generating leads section of this conversation. I like to break down like dating as kind of like internet marketing, right? You got acquiring leads and then you're funneling your leads into
it's just a sales funnel. It's just a stinking sales funnel. There's no magic to it, guys. It's just a sales funnel. That means, you know, you've got to constantly be filling your funnel.
Exactly. And filtering. How often were you did you have any other lead funnels? So were you meeting guys through your friends, social circle, family, bars,
nightclub?
No,
I didn't, because I wasn't a big nightclubber per se. But what I didn't want was, so because this is sort of like my hidden secret life, I needed people that weren't even on the periphery of my regular life.
Gotcha.
So that's why it was all the online stuff and just people that I didn't know. And so I couldn't just go and like ask somebody, hey, do you know any single guys? Because guess what? I've got the sex bucket list and I'm going to be fucking like crazy for a year. Do you know anybody that would want to be part of that? You know?
Yeah. Not a good thing to ask your sister or mom.
No. Yeah.
All right. Gotcha. And then how often were you going on dates?
Like dates or meet and greets?
Either. Well, what do you consider a meet and greet versus a date?
That's the last part of the process. We're going to meet face to face. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I give the talk, like, just want to let you know, I'm not putting any expectations on you. You know, there may not be chemistry, there may, but let's just meet and see, you know, how we feel. And nobody's under any obligation.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, first of all, I'm not too pissing on my own porch, but I pretty much know that they're not going to go, oh, not what I expected, because my pictures are accurate. I'm representing myself accurately. So I'm not worried about anybody going, oh, didn't quite, that wasn't what I expected. But I'm laying the groundwork so that I could just be, again, since we're not obligated. And then when I tell you, you know, I really didn't feel the chemistry that I'm looking for, that it all kind of makes sense, you know, that we've sort of planned and prepped for this moment in case it came about.
Right.
but so then I meet people, you know, and again, we're going to go either have a drink or have coffee, and we're going to see if there is any chemistry. And then if there is, from there, we make a plan to do whatever we want. But we're meeting just for this, figure this out. And then we'll make a date after that if we want to move forward.
Cool. Yeah. Very, very good way to filter people and not waste your time and not agree to, like, you know, some elaborate date where you're stuck with someone you're not attracted to, which you found out at minute one when they showed up because they looked nothing like their photos.
Well, and I've made that mistake. You know, I mean, right. I don't want to say like I didn't make that mistake. You know, it only took one time though. You make that mistake once you're like, okay, you got to revamp the formula here. Do something different. I'm not going to get trapped with this again. Oh my gosh.
And how quickly would you go from chatting on the dating platform to chatting on like text or Instagram, and how, which platform would you switch to?
I have a Burner app, so I just switch them over to Burner. Mm-hmm.
Like a Burner phone?
It's a Burner. It's an app called Burner.
Oh, I've never heard.
And it gives you like, you have a Burner number with it.
Okay.
So you can video call, you can text, you can, get, you know, they want to call you, give them that number, and it works through your phone, just like WhatsApp, I guess. Yeah, very similar.
Cool.
Except they don't know who you really are. So that's always for the qualification stage. I have also a thing just about being, you know, safe and cautious and careful. And that's why I always meet somebody, you know, in a regular place for either a drink or coffee, you know, for the meet and greet. And again, so I can also get an overall vibe and, you know, go from there. But yeah, Burner number, don't give out your real phone. I never give them my social media or anything like that.
Right.
Again, that's
a safety thing too, which guys sometimes can't appreciate enough. It's like, as a woman, there's a huge safety component. Where a guy, I mean, you're not super worried about that. Like, you know, there could be a guy posing as a girl trying to, you know, do some sketchy stuff, but the majority are not, right? So like a guy will give out his number, a guy will give out his social media, that sort of thing. But if you're trying to be safer about it, definitely better to do what you're doing. So you wouldn't, and then, okay, so you would not exchange social media until the face-to-face.
Yeah, until the face-to-face. And then even at that point, I mean, I don't know if I like really directly asked for someone's social media. If they wanted mine, I would tell them.
At that point, but it's like, you already know each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Were you ever in a period where like guys were flaky or you were flaking on them? Did you have any issues with that?
No, I don't flake on people. So I have very few, I have zero like forgiveness on that. And there's just certain things like that. That's just one of those things I will, if you self-eliminate, you self-eliminate.
Right.
Because I understand plans change sometimes, that happens, but if you like actually stand me up,
right,
you'll never come back from that.
Yeah. I say the same thing. I'm like, you can have like a one strike, you're out. And if it's a good reason, like if someone has a good excuse and there seems like a genuine, like they really couldn't make it, you know, maybe give them one more shot, but definitely,
I mean, unless no more than you're, that. You know, I mean, literally, you know, I have this thing. I just hold myself to a certain standard, you know, and again, when you give your word, you know, like being good on your word is just important. And yeah. Being honest is just important. And when you're not going to make it, you need to let somebody know. And in this day and age, you can do that even 5 minutes before you're supposed to meet with them. And, you know, maybe you don't even have to give a reason. You can just say, I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's fine. But don't let somebody sit there.
Oh yeah. That's,
you
totally
know, like they sit down at the table, they're waiting for you, that, you know, you're texting, okay, I'm here. Like,
that's unforgivable completely. Even the 5 minutes before is a
well, yeah, but I'm saying, yeah. I've had two zingers, that's it. It's only happened twice, but you know, again, I would never, like, I wouldn't do that to somebody. That's just it's not really, it's just too easy just to send a quick little text and say nope.
Right.
You know, I mean, whatever you're going to say.
And then last question regarding like the dating funnel, did you have any sort of like time constraints on when sex would happen? Like, were you methodically like trying to do that as soon as possible? I mean, I'm guessing the answer is when it felt right. Or were you like waiting any specific amount of time? And due to the messaging, like, if I can imagine, if you're having these conversations about non-monogamy and non-exclusivity, and it's all up and in front, like it's all known, there's no reason to not get physical like pretty fast, right?
Right.
Okay, so yeah. It's like first date, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The first real date. I mean, absolutely. You know, plus we've been talking about it. It's been building.
Yeah.
You know,
tension there.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, I find that a lot of guys were very just relieved or like very intrigued and interested in, you know, someone that was really upfront and honest and that had this great list, and everybody always found something that like they want, either hadn't done and always wanted to do and wanted to do it with me, or just, yes, I've done that before, but I'd love to do it again. I would love to, you know, experience that with you. Because it's so much fun, you know? And so I don't know. Yeah. It was like, by the time we'd gone through, you know, the texting and the FaceTiming and then the meeting, you know, it was going to be on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was good to go.
Nice. I mean, I tell guys all the time, like, if you have, well, online dating can be tough because of what we spoke about, there's a lot more competition as men, right? Women have the advantage, I guess you could say, in terms of like incoming inbound leads, but you also have the issue of sifting through them. But if you do have a good profile, if you're tall, obviously that helps, you know, because you're going to weed out based on that, and a lot of other women are too. And if you know how to put a sentence together and take a photo without some bullshit in the background, like you can build a pretty nice, like, you know, dating funnel, or you can have
it's not a high barrier to entry, by the way.
It's not.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not a high barrier to entry. So yeah.
Yeah. And I tell guys that, you know, that they're not great on photos or whatever, you know, they got to resort to day game, or they got to go out and meet women at bars or through their social circle, or build those other avenues.
But yeah, so, you know, like it's interesting to hear from you just how many inbound messages are coming in and just the amount of volume and work that it takes to sift through all that.
Just a shit ton. Yeah. It's a lot. So yeah, like I said, that's why sometimes I'm just like, I'm not in the mood and I've got some good, you know, partners and I'll just, I'm, you know, it definitely, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I gotta go find new and no. Yeah.
So what's like the next chapter for you? Are you just kind of continuing on this adventurous journey? Do you have any plans for like a different sort of relationship in the future? Or what's your mindset around that?
Well, so as far as like the podcast, I mean, I don't know when I don't know. I've sort of moved that in just in the direction that's still about my sex life. It's still about, you know, me doing stuff and reporting back and all that. But it's also kind of turned into this thing where, you know, people just really like listening to it because either they aren't having as much sex as they want and they really like listening to, you know, a sex positive female, you know, whatever sex positive is. That's such a kind of like a buzzword, but
sure.
I don't even know why I'm using it. Like somebody asked me that yesterday. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck that means, really. I mean, I guess it's just that, I mean, someone that likes sex, you know, a woman that likes sex. Okay, good. That's me. But
I'm sex positive too, I think.
I know. I think isn't everybody sex positive? I don't know.
I guess the people that would be like, you know, hardcore about, I don't even know. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who's not sex positive? It's weird.
Yeah.
Christian church maybe isn't.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe maybe nuns aren't, but, so I'm keeping that going because of the general overall interest I've developed in how driven we are by our sexuality and how important it is. And, you know, now I kind of put a lot of stuff together in my head. Why you see so many people not working out, you know, like why? Because their sexual connection isn't there and they never had it from the start, you know? And it's like, to me, it's really shown me how important that is. And I will not be with someone if I don't have a good, strong, you know, sexual connection with them. And whether or not I'm going to be monogamous or not moving forward, I'm not sold on any one thing really, but right. I love the fact that I've had, you know, all these different experiences and that I can see myself, you know, with someone long-term together. And then maybe we want to every once in a while, it's like, yeah, it's okay. Go do that every once in a while or have that experience. You know, I feel like I'm just more open-minded to finding someone that's going to be open-minded too. You know, I don't think I'd ever want to go back to solely one-on-one. I think that might be hard. I'm not going to be like clamoring for it. Like I always need extra bodies around or anything, but I just feel like, you know, I think it's really hard for one person to fulfill all of your sexual desires.
Mm-hmm.
And why should they have to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my journey with this was like for so long, I thought I would kind of label myself or label the sort of relationships I thought I should have. And then I realized that after having so many different interesting relationships with so many people, I was like, every single relationship is different. And I know that I might want to have a different relationship with everyone. Like, I don't know what the fuck I want. I think I know, but I kind of don't. And the fun thing is figuring it out along the way. Because with one person, you might want this, with another person, you might want that, so on and so forth. So, like you said, like it's just having those, I guess, having those conversations. And I always found that it led me more to understand myself. Like the more sex partners I had, the more of these experiences I have. Obviously, it was kind of like a journey in self-reflection for me anyways. So,
I mean, it's like I said, I've just learned so much more about myself by leading with that, you know, overall, like holistically, you know, like it's amazing. And it's just weird that it doesn't get the props it deserves, you know? So
it should.
I know we have to beat that drum. We got to drive it into people's heads. Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to celebrate that because everyone who's not doing it is jealous and salty about it, and they want to say.
But they can do it too. That's the thing. I mean, you know, I went from 3.5 years of nothing, and then like within 10 days, I'm like, zoom, off I go.
But I think it's the people that aren't attractive and they feel like they can't do it. Like, I mean, you have all the necessary things to do that, right? You can just turn on the faucet and it's like, here we go, right? Because, you know, you're an attractive individual with your shit got, you know, you have your shit together and you know what you want, right? But there's so many people out there that aren't, and they're going to just kind of lay shade on the people who do. And maybe that's why it is the way that is. I don't know, but...
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, or maybe it's women. They just want to throw that on there, like, you know, so they can lock guys down faster.
Maybe.
Then I don't know. I really don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so anyways, how can people find out about your show? Anything else, you know, that you wanted to tell us about following you?
Yes. If they want to check out the podcast, they can listen to it on really any one of the major syndicators of podcasts, wherever they listen to their podcasts. Just look up The Curious Girl Diaries, or you can go to my website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com. And from there, you can do a lot. You can click on the pink tab on the right-hand side and leave me a voicemail. So if you have a question or comment and you want me to get back to you personally, I will do it. You got 5 minutes, so you can just talk away. And I do get back to everybody individually, and it's real fun because I get to know people that way. And then there's a link to all my social medias just down at the bottom of my homepage there. And you can also, if you want to try to make a sex bucket list, I have a free sex bucket list tutorial. If you want to roll through that, that's kind of, like I said, the key component that helped me steer the ship and sort of resurrect my totally dead sex life, my own dead bedroom going on there. it's a term I just recently came across. I'm like, oh shit, I had that years ago. I just self-imposed it on myself, though. Nobody else did it to me. That's even worse. And then let's see. Lastly, they can, if they want to subscribe to the private podcast, there's a link on my website under exclusive, and you can get my exclusive podcast content.
Awesome. I love that voice note option. That's gotta be a good way to get to know people.
Do you have a website? You do.
Yeah, mine's innerconfidence.com, but I don't have the voice note thing, but I might steal that from you and add it.
You do. You need to get it. It's SpeakPipe. SpeakPipe.com. Yep. Right. You just embed it right there on your website. It's perfect. It's so easy. Yeah.
How often do you get like just like joke or like crank call messages?
You know what? Not that, I mean, every once in a while, you know, you get some weirdo. I think somebody's just jacking off. I hear a lot of like heavy breathing and like fabric moving, like, you know, I'm like, ew, I just delete it. And they're not really long anyway. Those are usually like a minute and a half. It's like, if it's about a minute and a half and I hear the crinkling and the breathing, I'm like, delete. I know. I'm like, oh, this guy's just jacking it. Thinks it's funny. But you know, I haven't had a lot of, but you know, aside from that stuff, I just, it's really fun to get feedback from people and have conversations back and forth and really kind of get to know who all these hundreds of thousands of people that listen to my podcast are. Like, who are you? You know, like, what is going on in your life? So I really, that's fun for me. I really enjoy that. But yeah. Oh, did I tell you, you know, before I go, I got to tell you, I meant to say this at the beginning. Somebody's playing a prank on me because I got like overnight, I woke up and I was signed up just about every damn near dating site, Asian Love, Latina Love, Jerkmate, eHarmony with my email. So somebody put my email address,
oh my God,
tried to like make an account. Well, then, you know, they send you confirm your email thing.
Right.
And so I don't know if someone was going to like try to put up some fake profiles of me or something, or but that wouldn't make any sense using my real email address. So they just asked me for confirmations. I was like, oh my God, there was like 10 of them, 10 different sites.
So strange.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I'm laying off that right now. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a really weird way to like waste your time.
I
And
know. I know. I don't know. Who
yeah,
knows?
weird. Have you ever dated anyone from like a listener of your show, or is that like
No, I haven't. I mean, I do get asked out quite a bit, but I haven't. No. Just it's weird. Okay, it's really strange. I have this thing like I'm like just don't do that. Like my guy friends that have podcasts, they call it podcast pussy. I'm like, you know what? I cannot get any podcast dick because I just feel like it's like you don't shit where you eat. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you don't shit where you eat. But you know, men have different rules. But
For sure.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
The podcast pussy is definitely a real thing.
That's what I hear. I don't. I mean, I'm straight, so nobody's sending me any podcast pussy, but. A lot of podcast penis, I'll tell you that.
Doesn't have the good ring to
It doesn't. It doesn't. But I do. I mean, I do get offers. I just don't. I don't partake.
Yeah. Well, it's been so great having you, and thanks so much for, taking us into your private life and sharing all the nitty-gritty about your dating funnels. And I love that you share my same sort of outlook on all this stuff.
Oh, I know. It's been very fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.